And now, for your listening pleasure, The Blazing Defender Report with your host, Travis Jones.
We are live!
Oh my God!
I know Dennis was dying having to stay quiet that long. I had to tell him to shut up before we went live.
What?
What? Dennis doesn't even know he's on the show because he hates what? Star Wars. What's going on, everybody?
I thought you were talking about Star Trek.
And Dennis is just going to keep talking. I tell you what, I'm going to learn how to mute Dennis, and then we won't have this problem anymore. What's going on, guys? Welcome to the Mando Monologues. I'm the Blazing Defender, and with me, the Skull and Villainy crew is back. I have TV's Casey, and from Box, I have Dennis Robinson. What's up?
Hey.
Hey.
God.
So is this terrible. Where we talk about Wrath of Khan, or like, are we ranking which Star Trek movies are the best ones?
It's all the even ones and then all the odd ones.
Okay. We can go through those.
Yeah, it's a hack. It's
very, very easy. And it doesn't work half the time, so I don't know why people always say that.
Well, to the real show, yes. The Mando Monologues, we're going to talk about Chapter 5, The Gunslinger of The Mandalorian, which I've heard, before I got to watch the episode, I had heard a lot of mixed reviews about this episode. And Debo, who's in the chat right now, I know he wasn't a fan of this episode at all.
I haven't heard mixed reviews. I haven't heard anyone who liked it.
I liked it.
Oh, my God.
Then you're the first one.
Total fan service.
I guess.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. This episode was total fan service. Yeah. I mean, we went back to Tatooine.
Where it all began.
Yeah. And that is going to play a big part in the end of this episode, or when we get through talking about the episode, because it really ended on a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
And I already know who you're going to say, but that's fine.
We'll no, you don't.
I do.
You don't even know the characters in this fucking universe. So how do you know who I'm going to say?
Jean-Luc Picard, William Shatner, Jory LaForge.
No. We get a great dogfight scene to start the episode. I thought that looked, if anything looked original Star Wars, that looked original Star Wars, and it didn't look like crap.
Ship fights, man. I've been waiting.
Thought it was awesome.
Well, so it was sort of like an abrupt start to the episode, but it was kind of weird in the way that went, in terms of like, here we're just going to put in a ship battle real fast with no sort of build up or anything, and then it's just over within like 20 seconds. I was like, okay, I suppose that's a way to set up the rest of your episode.
It's
I'd like cold, more of a ship battle.
It's a cold open with screaming hot lasers. What more could you want?
Yeah, it brings back to what we have talked about in previous episodes. It's not like this. They were flying through space, and another bounty hunter went, "Oh, hey, that's the Mandalorian. I'm gonna go get him." That's not what happened. So you know, we were talking about the fobs and how they can track one another.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mainly these things might have a little more range than we previously thought.
Okay. Yeah, it's not been established what the range on them at all is. So
no, it's not. That's what I'm saying. It's been kind of like, well, we're going to give you the coordinates, and here's the fob. So his last known coordinates, and with the fob, you should be able to find him. And then this bounty hunter's flying through space and somehow either runs into Mando or tracks him, which I thought, you know, whatever. I thought it looked pretty cool, especially when the ship blew up. I thought it was very vintage Star Wars.
You know, that part was cool. It always is a little funny to me how one ship will shoot the other ship like 3,000 times. Then the main person ship shoots one time and it blows it up one hit.
Yeah. Well, he got him on target lock, man. It was it had the old school.
Yeah, it still hit him. Like, I mean, the other guy hit him like a whole bunch of times, and all he did was just make his engine smoke a little. So I mean,
listen, you know, deflector shields are a crazy thing.
the science of deflector shields.
So that was always a sort of a weird thing with me in Star Wars, because they don't really depict the shield so much. They just show it hitting the ship, and they say, "Oh, deflector shields do this." I'm like, well, you could at least, I don't know,
have a shield. You know, in Star Trek.
How they
got shields. They'll show you.
Well, BNZ got shot, and engine was smoking a little bit. He had to make a crash landing to Tatooine of
everyone's
all places.
Desert planet in the middle.
Yeah, I got really, really excited when I realized he was stepping in to Mos Eisley, the famed cantina of scum and villainy.
Same exact shot going in the front door.
Yeah, which it's weird, but I guess the ownership has changed. Because
they let droids in now.
And before it was like, we'll serve you cat here, boy. And it's like, who are you talking to?
Yeah.
You know, C3's like, ooh, what?
You gold bitch. Get out of here.
Maybe it was a classist thing and not a racist thing.
I don't think it's a race thing. I think it's like, you know, if a guy like me walked into a Hell's Angels kind of a bar and they're like, hey, man, you ride? I'm like, a bicycle?
Like, get out of here!
Ride or die, please. Thank you.
We don't serve your kind here, boy.
Damn it.
But I thought that was pretty interesting. I was like, holy shit, like there's a droid working there now. And then, you know, the guild, which was, it was kind of odd. Like, you know, that place, that's where he met Han and Chewie. And, you know, him and, you know, Han and Greedo had their showdown. But now the guild doesn't even operate in these parts.
Well, did the guild operate there before? Han was a smuggler,
Greedo was a bounty hunter. Hanging out.
Greedo was, but that could just be him hunting Han.
Yeah.
Well, maybe. I mean, it seemed
it's a wretched hive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's scum and villainy. So yeah. Where else are bounty hunters going to operate other than that place? So, I mean, I don't know what has happened. I don't know if it was something with the Empire or whatever.
Horrible cantinas all over this dirt ball of a planet.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Maybe Mos Eisley's trying to change its rep. It's under new ownership, obviously.
Business doesn't.
So they got droids, and they just want to clean up their clientele. It's perfectly understandable.
Yeah.
Perfectly understandable.
And they also got the droid that exploded in A New Hope, R5-D4. He shows up.
Ah, yeah.
He's all right.
Yeah,
I guess he got his motivator fix, and he's, you know, serving drinks and whatnot. He's there. Part of me wants to imagine the guy behind the bar is the same like torture master.
Oh, okay.
From Jabba's palace, I'm thinking it's him.
He had to get new work.
He's like,
the torture business isn't what it used to be. But there's always room for a bartender.
People are always looking for a drink, not getting their feet burned. All right.
Fair enough.
So we meet this young money hustler.
Toro. Calican?
Calico Cat, yep.
The Calico Cat.
I called him Han Toro because I really thought that's what he was going to say.
Dude, when he had his feet up on the table, I was like, holy shit, did you see New Hope too?
Who does this guy
mean? I mean, he was sitting at Han's table, so.
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It was the same spot.
The Mando couldn't have picked a worse seat. They say after, you know, 9 years, it still smells like burnt Rodian. So.
Boo.
Fuck you. That's a solid joke.
When they introduced that character, I'm just going to say right now, when they introduced that character, I was like, he's dead. He's not making it through this episode. He's too annoying, and he's too smug, and no one likes him. They're making him super unlikable so they can murder him.
He's like easily. The Dennis of the Mandalorian.
Exactly. Right. Okay. I want to kill him every day too. But I don't have a blaster, so.
Oh, yeah. Shit. Debo liked your joke, by the way, Casey.
My man.
Yeah, he liked that joke. So then we get fucking speeder bikes, Tusken Raiders, Dubaks. I mean,
every old, hey, you remember old Star Wars, kid? Here's your Star Wars.
Yeah. I mean,
we got a little and a little sign language, very polite, these Tuskens, which I think is actually a very 2019 approach to the fact that they are the indigenous people of Tatooine.
He even makes mention of that.
Yeah, he does.
It's their planet.
It's their planet. And, you know. It really changed my perspective on them because before this, it's like, what do you think about Tusken Raiders? And it's like, well, they're a bunch of screaming, bandaged desert
Raiders.
Monsters. Yeah, they're fucking scary. Dude, and they'll fucking beat the shit out of you. But here it's like, oh, look at these totally reasonable human beings.
Yeah, they just want stuff.
Yeah, man. They just give me your fucking goggles, you nerd. It's like, you want to take passage through the desert? Give me that shit.
Are Tusken Raiders human? I've never seen them.
I don't know. They are humanoid.
They're from Tuscany.
Yeah, okay.
And that they are, you know, bipedal, bipedal beings who raise families and worship Darth Vader as some kind of scary desert on fire death god, which is super cool. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, that is kind of cool. So are we thinking that they're like, they those are masks or helmets?
Yeah. Oh, okay. They definitely wear masks.
So what do they look like underneath?
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, in Legends, they apparently looked like normal people with like some totally metal face tattoos. Okay. Darth Krayt used to be a Tusken.
Right.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah.
I know that.
So, but I mean, that doesn't matter anymore. Thanks, Kathleen. So, you know.
Hey, they don't have anything to pull from. Okay. Yeah. They're making it up as they go.
Oh, shit.
They
got
nothing to pull from. But yeah, so I think they're actually fairly normal looking people who just like to, you know, they speak in a grunt-esque kind of language that's hard for people who speak basic to understand.
Yeah, the Mandalorian understood.
Yeah, he got it right away. He's, you know, that's actual sign language.
Okay.
Yeah, they didn't make it up or anything. That's actual sign language, which I think is also very cool.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah. So they swap, they get their bikes, they head out, and
which I really like those scenes with the bikes, by the way.
Loved it.
It looks good.
Super cool looking. So good. Looked good. I was like, you know what? This kind of reminds me of like a horse riding across the plains scene in like a Western or something like that. But it just looked sweet. I was like, man, I want a speeder bike.
We got a mark out by the Dune Sea.
Well, even when the bounty hunter was being drugged by the Dubac, it reminded me of like, you know, you see the lone cowboy that's been gunned down, who's mm-hmm. off his horse, it's being drugged. He's got one foot in his stirrup. Mm-hmm. And I was like,
but now the
shit,
horse is a giant dinosaur monster.
Yeah, but it's on a Dubac.
It's totally cool.
Did you guys have the Dubac toy that you put the
no
had like the little trap door and you put the action figure inside it?
My friend had it, and he got it because he subscribed to Star Wars Insider Magazine, and that was a mail away figure.
Really?
That's what he told me. Or at least that's my memory of it. I could be completely wrong.
I had one, and I'm pretty sure it came from Target.
Fuck! I must be thinking of those spiders with the brain on top that are walking around Jabba's palace.
Oh.
Those guys may have been a mail-away figure.
That would have been a cool man. Now, Boba Fett with the ejecting missile launcher was a mail-away.
I didn't have him.
You had to collect so many box tops.
Fuck.
To get like Hasbro box top. Oh, trust me, I did it. Because I
you
had to have
destroyed
this-
the packaging.
Oh, no.
I was going to say, that's one of the most valuable toys, isn't
but
it?
No.
According
but
to
I don't even have the motherfucker anymore.
Yeah.
But you know, as soon as it came in the mail, I was like, fucking shredded that fucking packaging. And
well, aren't you old enough to have gotten the old Kenner ones? Like before it moved to Hasbro? No?
Fuck, man, I don't know. I had all that shit.
Yeah.
I don't know.
When it switched.
Yeah, I don't know. I wish I still had it. Trust
You're like 60 years old, so probably.
65.
Yeah.
65 in March. Thanks for thinking I'm 60. It's a huge compliment, Dick.
Hey, man, look, you're always
your birthday
retirement.
Is only a couple
That's
days
what you
from
say.
Mine.
We met FedEx Shan, which I've been waiting to see.
Live action Chun-Li, you say?
Mm-mm. Yeah. Ming-Na Wen? Is that how you say Ming-Na Wen?
Mulan, Melinda May from Agents of
S.H.I.E.L.D. Yeah. Yeah, she was great. Fantastic character, an assassin, of course. Hans Toro was ass.
Oh, yeah.
Beat the shit out of him, which was pretty awesome.
Well, but you knew that happened when Boba Fett talked about the puck at first. And he's like, it's easy. You just go out there. And he's just like, no. She's murdered a lot of people.
She worked for the Hutts, you idiot.
Boba Fett.
Not Boba Fett, sorry. Mando.
I told you, Casey. He doesn't even know what show we're watching.
Man,
he's been thinking
they look
this
the same.
Fucking
all
Boba
Mandalorians
Fett the
look
whole
the same
time. Jesus Christ.
I was thinking about the end of the episode.
Yeah.
But how they got Shand was, I thought it was pretty fucking cool.
She had the high ground.
Jason, you know, giving her two things to shoot, flash banging her the whole way. Mm-hmm. Thought it was pretty fucking cool.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Until, Dweeb fucked it up and shot his load into the dirt.
Yeah.
But whatever.
Oh.
He shot his flare into the dirt.
Yeah.
Because he's an idiot.
Because he messed up.
Oh, yeah.
He lost his gun in the middle of the fight.
That's how Mando got shot.
And then, the best, they have this, we're not so different, you and I, kind of conversation. While Mando goes off to get an extra ride to bring back. And this idiot is just like, oh, yeah? Like, you'll pay me twice what your bounty is worth when we get to Mos Espa? Thanks for telling me the Mando is worth in weight in Beskar, you dummy. And then he just kills her on the spot. Ice cold.
So do you think she's dead? I think she's dead.
Shit. Star Wars is weird,
probably.
Man.
Probably.
I mean, I think she's dead because the Mando
she'd been laying there a long time.
Yeah. Not only, by the time he got back, she was still laying there, which sucks. Yeah. But also, if she were alive, which I'm sure his helmet could check or he would have checked.
That's true.
Because she's still worth money. You know,
that's true.
But yeah, he our young hotshot iced her right there and is like, I'm gonna go steal that baby. Who meanwhile has been entertained by Amy Sedaris this entire time.
Dude, was that the worst Ellen Ripley cosplay ever? I mean,
do you think they did it on purpose?
I think she did, man.
I mean, I don't know.
I think it's a tongue-in-cheek joke.
It's too close to like not. I mean, the hair and the jacket, like Dude, everything.
I couldn't believe it. I was like, "What the fuck am I watching?" Yeah, pretty good.
She was very funny taking care of Baby Yoda.
Yeah, she was. She was pretty good. The droids are pretty cool. But what about, you know, we kind of breezed over that, but Mando just locking little Baby Yoda in the fucking ship. Like, hey, I'll be back. I mean, like. Yeah.
Well, he doesn't give him a choice this time. He asked him to stay, and he didn't. So now sometimes you got to lock your kids in the closet.
Yeah, that's true. You know? And he was asleep.
I mean, he's going hunting a dangerous criminal. He can't really be, you know, lugging Baby Yoda.
He didn't know that at the time.
If he was holding Baby Yoda,
he was going to look for work, though.
Like, right on his chest, Baby Yoda would have caught that sniper bolt. Too sweet.
That's right. Yeah.
He would have been a little disintegrated, cute little baby.
Yeah.
And all the memes would stop. Why they can never kill him.
They wouldn't stop. They would just change to much darker, sadder memes.
Dicks out for Baby Yoda, just like Harambe.
I think the internet would actually fucking riot. I don't even know what that would look like, but it would be ugly, I think, if something happened.
A sea of people storming Disney headquarters, like, let's see. Bring us back, Baby
Yoda.
People
more upset, Baby Yoda dying, president being impeached. What strange times in which we live.
Yeah, no shit. Yep. That's true. But so, and then he, you know, of course, the Mandalorian saves the day. Flashbangs Toro, then mercs him.
Yeah.
Which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah.
But Ripley almost gives it away. She's like, well, you're not so stupid after all, or whatever she said.
Why don't you say it out loud?
Not up, bitch.
It wasn't even quiet. No. He's only 5 feet away. There's no noise.
Doing? She just shot her too for just being stupid.
It would have been better if she's like, is that a flare in your hand?
Yeah.
It looks an awful lot like a flare.
What's that you're holding behind your helmet?
I'm going to act like I'm tying your hands up.
At first, I was a little worried of her. Like, I didn't know where she stood. You know, like, when she sees this baby, is she going to be like, I've been hearing about this. It's funny what people are hearing, like, obviously, Shand had knew about the Mandalorian and everything that had happened on his planet. We really don't know how much time has passed, but apparently it's already traveled, right?
Yeah.
So, well, you know,
her contacts might be of the Imperial variety.
That's interesting because, and we'll go ahead and get to it, because after he mercs Toro, they fly off, right? And then we get our cutscene. So it's actually kind of weird. It was weird to me. Like, what is she doing on Tatooine? Maybe hiding out, right? Shane. Mm-hmm. Maybe she's hiding out. Maybe not. Maybe she had a job.
She had a job.
What do you mean she had a job?
She was going to collect money in Mos Espa. She had like a meet.
Yeah, she said she had a rendezvous.
I think she was working.
Right. No, yeah, she was obviously working. She wouldn't have been out there, just out there. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Yeah.
So
no one goes to Tatooine on purpose. I mean,
yeah,
by accident.
Or to hide out. Maybe they go to hide out. I mean, that's where Ben sent Luke.
Yep.
They kept him pretty hid for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But did it seem like, because I had read someone say this, like they felt like she knew that the Mandalorian was coming for her. That's the reason she was shooting at the Mandalorian. And even when the dude shot his fucking flare down the ground, it really didn't flash him. She could have caught him, but she didn't. She was still shooting Mando. You know what I mean?
Well, how would she have known the Mando was coming for her?
She knew everything else.
Well, she was...
But for her, that just happened that day. He decided, like, 30 minutes prior to leaving, he decided he was coming after her.
Oh, you know what? No, she didn't know it was going to be the Mando. And
she thought the kid was coming.
She was surprised to see him at all. Because she's like, I heard about that thing on Navarro, which is the Episode 3 planet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where he got in the big shootout with the bear, whatever. She's like, you're lucky you made it out of there. Meanwhile, I'm like, lucky though? Because it seemed like the Mandalorian stomped the shit out of everyone.
Yep.
Well, yeah, he was lucky that his clan showed up.
Well, yeah, he was outnumbered and surrounded.
He was outnumbered. I think he was going down in the wagon if
another
Mando didn't show up to save his ass. So in that aspect, yeah, he was lucky.
But that news traveled too.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
but okay, so we'll get to the cutscene because obviously she was working with somebody, her rendezvous, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
And Dennis says he already knows who I'm going to say. Do we have any ideas on who this mystery man is that finds Shandet?
Everybody thinks it's Boba Fett, but I'm not convinced.
Yeah. Well, what if I said I got something to convince you?
Is it the jingle jangle?
It is.
Of his block. Well, really?
So the
jingle jangle.
Originally, I thought it was Mando coming back because he also makes the jingle jangle when he walks. He has spurs when he walks. So it's like, maybe Mando's coming back to collect.
When does he have spurs?
That's just the sound he makes when he walks.
Boba Fett doesn't
have spurs. He talked about it in the first episode.
Boba Fett doesn't have spurs either, but he makes
the sound. No, he doesn't have spurs, but Boba Fett's, I don't think the other ones do that. I've never heard Mando do that.
You think it's a very distinct jingle jangle?
I mean, I could have swore I remember reading and hearing about them saying, oh, yeah, he's got spurs when he walks. So,
everybody listening and watching, Dennis has yet to watch an episode, as you can tell.
I'm going off memes.
He reads the memes.
Only the
memes. And he just guesses his way through the show, obviously. I don't think Mando's ever jingled. And
has he jangled?
There is a scene. I'm going to play it. I'm going to play it right now.
All right.
Okay.
Oops. I'm gonna play it in 2 seconds.
It's the exact same sound effect.
All right. Here we go.
Classic scene. I love it. Just Darth Vader going all.
Mm-hmm.
There is a distinct jingle jangle there. So you can't tell me that they make this scene where all you see is the dude's boots. They could have very well left that out. No one would have fucking known shit.
Yep.
But it's a jingle jangle. And I'll give you one more.
Okay.
The last place we see Boba is on Tatooine.
Getting eaten.
Or getting eaten by Sarlacc.
Yeah.
And you know, Casey, that he was, there's a novel where he
escaped
Sarlacc.
Dickhead.
No, you don't.
I do.
You have no idea what I'm talking about. Star Wars grown-ups are talking.
No, he survives.
He survives. But that's not canon, though.
Not anymore.
It was once.
It was once.
Well, it's weird, right? Because in, like, 1985, people are like, oh, George, you know, does Boba Fett survive? And he's like, oh yeah, he, you know, his armor's pretty tough and he's got a jetpack. He flies, well, you know, he flies right out of it. You know, it's classic Lucas. But you know, I remember
a time in Star Wars fandom when there was such a thing called G canon, which overwrote everything in the expanded universe. If George Lucas said something, it was gospel.
Right.
So G for George canon, and then it was like C canon for everything else. Your Thrawn trilogies, your Mara Jades, whatever showed up.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, I might be making it up. I'm not, though. I definitely remember that. You could probably Google it, G canon Star Wars.
I will.
But they... yeah, it used to be identified in such a way, but whatever. It's not important anymore. I just know that Lucas has always been a very big proponent of Boba Fett surviving.
Boba Fett what?
Surviving.
Why'd he kill him?
He didn't kill him, obviously. Well,
he killed him. Like, you know, you get eaten by a giant sand monster that's supposed to digest you for thousands of years. It's a pretty foregone conclusion. You're not going to get out.
Right.
That's
what I'm saying.
He's got a ton of weapons.
I don't know, Travis, if you fell into a giant sand vagina in the middle of nowhere covered in teeth and tentacles, do you think you'd climb out of it?
No, I don't. That's what I'm saying. I don't think George Lucas...
But he's covered. He's got a bunch of weapons, though. So you could just kill it from the inside and then climb
out. I don't think Lucas knew what he had. I don't think anybody realized how popular this fucking side supporting character was ever going to be. Yeah. And then when he killed him... Everybody was like, whoa, what the fuck? We love that dude. And then, you know, like, oh, shit. Fair,
well, he was introduced to Empire Strikes Back, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't he popular after that movie came out?
I think he was popular after the Star Wars Holiday Special.
Yeah.
That's true.
Well, that's... Jon Favreau obviously was a huge fan of that.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he gave him the weapon and everything that Mandalorian has. I mean, that's the weapon that the disintegrator or whatever the fuck
He's got that sawn-off disintegrator rifle. It looks totally... I love it. Oh, man, I love Boba Fett. I don't know why. He doesn't really do anything.
No.
But he's cool looking.
He's cool.
Sometimes that's enough.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, he had a rep in through the galaxy. We don't know. We didn't get to see that, but that
would like a bad boy.
Something to explore though, right? Is how he got the rep.
Yeah.
You know, but now this is my question though. We've got the Mandalorian who obviously has a set of morals, a very ethical code, even though he's a bounty hunter. And now let's just say it's Boba Fett that is going to be the big bad who, in the synopsis for the season finale, it says, this all it says, Boba Fett comes face to face with an unseen enemy.
You mean the Mandalorian?
Do you mean Mandalorian? Do you even watch this show, Travis? Yeah.
You just said
Boba Fett.
Oh, yeah. Dickhead. Sorry. Yeah, I just read memes and guess my way through shit, too.
Exactly.
Obviously.
I'm the only true connoisseur of Star Wars.
That's right.
Wait a minute. Hold on. I didn't say Boba Fett.
I said
if it is Boba Fett, and then I said he.
No,
Mandalorian.
No, you did not. Clip it. Check so we'll tape. Have it forever.
Shit. Yep. Fuck. All right.
We're on Twitch. We can clip it now.
You blew. Right.
Whatever. You get me. That makes sense though, right? But how do we have two of these types of characters in this universe? You know what I mean? I feel like one of them's going down.
Maybe.
This town ain't big enough for the both of us. I mean, I don't know. You got two dudes that look almost like... Dude, my wife has watched me watch these episodes, and she thought it was Boba Fett the whole time.
It's not an unbelievable thing. I mean, before the show even came out, people were like, yo, what are we getting that Boba Fett show? Like, everybody always assumed we would be getting a Boba Fett show. And it's like, here's your Boba Fett show.
Right. Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah.
So, I don't know. I'm speculating, but...
I already like the Mando a lot more than I like Boba Fett.
Well, we know more about him, right?
Yeah.
Kind of. I mean, even if you count all the cool shit with Legends I've read Boba Fett in, he's kind of like ice cold. Like, and that's cool for a bounty hunter. Like, yeah, you should probably have a guy who's just all business, but you know,
you don't ever like read a book about Boba Fett and you're like, wow, I wonder where his loyalties really lie. It's like the money.
Right.
Right. It's the money.
Yeah. Well, but in the novel where he escapes the Sarlacc pit, he's like one of the chick that saves him in the novel. He becomes like, they become romantically attached.
I think your lore is all kind of Googled up or goofed up.
Is it? It's not how it happens?
This is how I remember it. The first time we see Boba Fett out of the Sarlacc, his armor is bleached solid white.
Right.
And he's got a, he pulls a gun on Han Solo, maybe on like Nar Shada or something. It's in Dark Empire, the comic book, which everybody should read, by the way. I should point out Dark Empire fucking rules, and everybody should read it. It's what Last Jedi should have been. Anyway, off that rant, they establish elsewhere that Dengar is ultimately the one who pulls him in. You know, that guy who looks like a shitty cross between like your fat uncle and a stormtrooper?
Mm-hmm.
That guy? Dengar is the one, I think, who pulls him out. And then, you know, he's just kind of like, Han Solo put me in here. I'm going to go kick his ass. And then, you know, a couple of years later, he like gets his shit together, gets his ship back because people fucking stole his ship because it's like, well, he's dead. Like, whatever. It's
Tatooine.
Yeah, it's Tatooine. Of course, they're going to, you know, Jawa's probably got it.
Yeah.
Little bastards. You know, so he's got to get a new ship. He's got to get his ship back together and recover. And then, you know, he tracks down Han Solo and he's like, I'm going to get you. And he does not get it. But you know, he kind of hangs around the galaxy for about 40 years after that. And, yeah, that's Boba Fett. I don't remember anything about him falling in love, especially after that. I'm pretty sure there's a legend story about him falling in love at some point before that. But I could be wrong, you know?
I mean, Travis being wrong on this show is a pretty regular thing, it seems like.
Ooh.
So,
oh my God,
just chalk it right up there with the rest of them,
man.
You want to talk? You want to make a Star Wars joke now, or I mean, I'm sorry, a Star Trek joke now, or something?
I didn't.
Oh, did I? Right. I know you didn't, because you can't make a Star Wars one. So.
I should point out that for those of you who are still interested in Boba Fett and legend stuff, he has a granddaughter who is a super hot, big titty goth Mandalorian. So if you're into that sort of thing, pick up a book.
Just check so many boxes.
Since I was wrong. I'm going to tell you how he survived the Sarlacc pit.
All right.
Can I do that? So my shit's not all fucked up.
Okay.
Yeah, is that cool? Please.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. Inside the Sarlacc pit.
Am I right-ish though? Am I like close?
No, not at all.
Not at all.
But no, he gets himself out.
So you're both wrong.
Dengar definitely drags his ass away from the pit. He meets I know he hangs out with Dengar. Don't fucking tell me he doesn't. I know he does.
Dengar is nowhere in here.
This is dog shit. What do you read? I don't like it.
Wikipedia, because you ripped my ass last time I didn't use it.
All right. Okay.
So it says, inside the Sarlacc, for some time, Fett is immobilized and his armor is heavily damaged by the creature's digestive system. He learns that Susuijo, S-U-S.
Oh, yeah. I remember that guy. He's the first.
Oh, okay.
He's the first dude who ever got eaten by the Sarlacc, and he's been in there so long, he thinks he is the Sarlacc.
He can exert some control over the Sarlacc.
Yeah.
He goats Sujo into making the Sarlacc contract around his jetpack. The resulting explosion frees the bounty hunter from the Sarlacc's grasp. Then he fires concussion grenades into the walls of the beast, blowing a hole in the interior. Boba Fett escapes the Sarlacc, in which, like him, he is badly injured but still alive. A year later, Fett returns to the Sarlacc and Slave 2 due to his prior contact with Sarlacc. He can reestablish a telepathic connection with Sujo. He decides not to destroy the Sarlacc yet, but promises to return. And then Dengar enters, and no, I'm just kidding. Dengar.
So, are you saying the Sarlacc is his love interest? Is that what you're saying?
No, I would say Sujo is.
Same difference. Well, Sujo's the Sarlacc, apparently. So
he's a dude. He's in the Sarlacc. I was trying to find.
What are you talking? It's right here. You jerk! Look what? At it. It says it right there. Left Fett on the verge of death as he lay dying on the surface of Tatooine. His colleague Dengar was searching for anything valuable. He found Boba Fett and nursed him back to health.
Oh, okay.
Right there.
Where's that at?
Right, it's right after what you just read.
Travis can't even read.
You conveniently stopped reading at the point where Dengar enters the picture.
Wow, weird.
And then they fall in love.
He said conveniently stopped reading.
First gay
character. It's not on my shit, dude. It's right I'm there. Telling you.
It's right there. Post-battle event.
Like, I can fucking see that.
Boba Fett, Legends, post-battle event. We don't need to do this. None of this matters. Boba Fett survives. Is he at the end of The Mandalorian? Maybe. He has a similar sounding jingle when this mysterious figure goes to check up on Ming-Na Wen. There. Look, I brought us back. I'm saving your program. That's what's up.
I wouldn't even listen to you because I'm still reading this.
Totally fine. Fucking, I'm telling you, dude. Dengar, Boba Fett, BFFs for life.
Huh. Do you think so you like everybody that was, necklace? Everybody that was, I guess, theorizing that there was going to be the, let me get back on the fucking screen here, that there was going to be this gang of bounty hunters that went after him. It was going to be, fuck, I got them on my shirt, Suckus and Dengar and IG-88.
And Bosk.
And Bosk. They were all going to hunt the Mandalorian down.
I love it.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Still could be, I guess.
Yeah. Listen, you got to, you know, blow your load on the last episode to keep people engaged.
And Boba could be still part of that group, I guess.
Well, the other theory I heard floating around was the guy at the end was the person from the trailers and promotional materials. It's the guy from Breaking Bad who's an Imperial officer. He's like a Grand Moff or something like that. I forget. Oh. I can't remember.
His name's Moff Gideon.
Yeah, somebody theorized it could be possibly him. That was like her contact that was supposed to be meeting her in Mos Espa or whatever.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely making an appearance. We just don't know. Here it is. I'm still looking for that book.
Do you think they'll tell us in the next episode, or do you think it's going to be a slow burn?
Oh, man.
We only got three left, right?
It's true.
So, I mean, there's not really much wiggle room for more dicking around episodes like this one where, you know.
Yeah, that was my main problem with this episode was.
Nothing of importance happens.
Nothing of importance. It didn't really move the story anywhere.
I don't think it has to.
It doesn't have to if it was a normal TV show that was like 20 episodes, 30 minutes each. But for 8 half-hour-ish episodes, you don't have a whole lot of time for filler.
Yeah.
This was like a Supernatural episode where they just go and hunt some rando thing that has nothing to do with the plot. Like, okay, it's there. It's fine.
You know what it reminds me of? And I might be dating Travis here, but do you remember that old Kung Fu show with David Carradine?
Yeah.
Hell Kung yeah, Fu? Right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was called Kung Fu.
Dude, it's, yeah exactly. It's just about a dude walking the earth and doing shit. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what this is.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. Getting in adventures.
Yeah, just different people every episode.
Fucking, you know, jacking off, hanging from a shoestring.
Yep.
Well, it was a belt.
That was different. That was a different show.
Spoilers for
was
the
it a belt?
Mandalorian.
Oh. I think you used a belt.
Spoiler alert. Sorry, guys.
That's actually finale. It survives the Sarlacc, fights Han Solo, and then they end up finding his body choking off. In a closet. That's it.
Autoerotic.
There he goes.
Brian makes a good point in the chat. The Twi'lek winking in the trailer. We still haven't seen that yet.
Nope.
Oh.
Yeah, I brought that up last episode. I was like, I wonder when that happens. Because that looks like it's only
in the trailer.
Yeah, exactly. Memes and trailers. That's all I got. We're going to do a Last Skywalker review, and it's going to be based solely off trailers. I'm not even going to go.
We've got two episodes left.
Three. This was five, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Six, seven, eight. That's three.
Six, seven, eight.
So, I mean, we still got time to see Moff. We still got time to see the Twi'lek. I mean, I don't know what we're going to see in the finale.
No idea.
I mean, I really think that the tide is going to turn and he's going on the offensive to everybody with fobs.
He kind of has to, doesn't he?
I mean, listen, you know, he could pan it out. He could be on the run for a long damn time, but I don't know.
Well, I mean, the end of the fourth episode sort of gave you the impression that that's what he was going to do. And then he didn't. He was still on the run. So I don't know if this episode would be like the, come to Jesus moment where he's like, oh yeah, no, I got to totally go take care of those FOB people now. They've done one too many. I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like there's some other big catalyst that needs to push him in that direction.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I know we theorized about some of it last show, like where this is going to go. And I don't know if it was one of you that was like, I don't think it has to go anywhere. I think this can be like every episode can be kind of like this episode we just had, you know, like you said, Kung Fu, like every episode. I don't remember a protagonist that built up to the end. You know what I mean? Like, yep. It was just like every episode was kind of like a supernatural, a creature of the week kind of deal. Antagonist? But like,
yeah.
The what?
I think you mean antagonist. Protagonist is your main character.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah. Thank you, Dennis. You are on here for something. Thank you. Yeah, that's why we got him, folks. Now, all right.
Dan Merling it up, giving you corrections.
That's right.
Yeah.
Wrong again, Travis.
Well, I'm here. Well, when he said Boba Fett earlier, I had to get him. So.
Oh, and then when you got me said twice. It, you got all.
We have fun.
See
here.
How it is.
We have fun here.
So, what other nuggets?
Not a lot.
Where would you put this in the pantheon of episodes? By the way, I'd probably put it dead last.
Yeah, I probably would too. But yeah, I mean, it's still really good.
It's good.
I'm putting two last still.
Really?
Really?
Yeah. That was fucking terrible.
But
the only thing that saved it was Baby Yoda using the Force. I mean, he kills this fucking Mudhorn with the world's smallest butter knife. And he would have probably... No, butter knife, motherfucker. You ain't got to correct me on that.
It could be a vibro butter knife.
Butter knife. It's still a it was this knife. Fucking yeah. big.
Sometimes you just got to vibro through a particularly thick piece of butter, you know?
Yeah.
It's not always a hot knife through butter. It's a vibro knife.
Vibro through. Knife through butter.
Two was boring. I felt like there was 20 minutes of a 30-minute episode of him walking, like just showing him walk.
No, he fought Jawas.
I was like really pissed off at two. I was like, man... Please tell me we're going to have more than this. So, there was enough fan service in this episode for me to save it. Just seeing Tatooine again and Mos Eisley, and I feel like them going back there does lend to the Boba Fett return more than anything. Like, I feel like they went there for a reason.
Not to be planicist. But every fucking desert planet they show me looks like Tatooine, as far as I'm concerned.
What was that word again?
Planetsist?
Planet
it's like racist, but planets?
But for planets.
I don't know. But yeah, I don't know.
Listen, not to be planetsist or anything, but I just found out that Endor and the forest moon of Endor are not the same thing. So, fuck me, I guess.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's interesting, Casey.
Yeah, what?
Thanks. Mean,
like, hot takes.
Listen, you're gonna need to know this dumb bullshit by the time episode 9 rolls around. Okay.
Probably.
I'm just no, he'll saying. Be so mad at the no, end of it, it won't matter.
You're probably right about that.
Star Wars is weird. Okay, there's no bad Star Wars. There's good Star Wars and weird Star Wars.
Well, Rhino does agree. He says he didn't think that there's enough movement in the story. Debo says maybe Boba finds a way to get his hand on wee baby Yoda, and the Mando has to track him down. That would be interesting going into season two.
It's a hell of a confrontation.
That I could so see that coming, where somebody, whether it's Boba or another hunter, gets him, takes off, and then season two is the search for little baby Yoda.
I mean, we still haven't even seen Bill Burr yet.
Yeah. We got to fill our comedians quota.
Yeah.
So many comedians.
There's a lot of people from the trailer we haven't seen yet.
He's probably big bad.
Yeah. Bill Burr? No, I thought they said he was supposed to be like a helpful helper.
Oh, was that in a meme?
No, that was in the trailer.
Bill Burr. Yeah, I think he'd be a great villain.
I think he'd be a terrible villain.
Yeah, I don't know.
Sidekick material written on him.
I feel like this episode, we're going to look back on this episode at the finale and be like, oh, that mm-hmm. was what Shand was supposed to be doing. This is why they went there. This I is a lot of it's going to, I think, come full circle.
It seems like each of these episodes just is like its own little contained world story that does not tie together with anything. But maybe, maybe the last three will be some weird sort of spider web thing.
Maybe we'll get a two-part arc. Wouldn't that be something? That's when they decide to get real consistency of storytelling. They force a two-part arc on you.
Mm-hmm.
So we get a full like 45 minutes of a finale, right, if you put them
well, together. Well, you got to think about it, right? You end the seventh episode on a cliffhanger. Then everybody goes to see Rise of Skywalker.
And right.
And then we're back. Did it blow your mind?
You know, they obviously had this timed. I mean, I brought this up a couple episodes ago. I feel like the timing of these episodes, they did it to coincide with the release. That's the reason I feel like there's going to be, I'm not going to say it's a huge plot point in episode 9, but I feel like for the people that are watching this, when whatever happens in episode 9, people that are watching The Mandalorian go, oh, fuck. Yeah. Yeah. You know, and then the people, you know, you're still going to have your fans that in the casual people, the filthy casuals, that are going to go, oh, well, I wonder what that was about. Like, oh, man, it's you watch the show Mandalorian. And then, oh, well, hey, sweet pea, we need to get Disney Plus. You know what I mean? I feel like it's not going to be a huge plot point where you're not going to know what the fuck's going on.
Hey,
but
you know,
there's going to be something.
We know that exact thing is going to be a big deal in the Marvel movies, unless they're just, you know, blowing smoke. But they're like, right. You know, WandaVision, they're like, is going to be integral to seeing Doctor Strange 2. And I'm like, okay. Like, I'm going to watch it anyway, but, like, if you feel like it's mandated viewing, like, you know I'm all over it.
Now, Doctor Strange 2 releases before WandaVision, right?
It does not.
It does not.
It does not.
I say that wouldn't really make a whole lot of sense. Mm-mm. You have to watch this TV show to understand the movie, but we're going to give you the movie first.
Yeah.
Be like, what?
Huh.
Still the dumbest name for a TV show.
Is it actually called WandaVision?
It's actually called WandaVision.
No, that is pretty stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's set in the '50s.
Well, maybe.
Well, the promotional picture has them sitting on the couch looking like Leave It to Fucking Beaver.
Man, reality warping bitches be tripping. All right. That's what's up.
She can do what she wants.
She can do whatever she wants. She wants to make it the 1950s, like bam.
Yeah. She's like, I like the cost of gas back then.
I want a robot husband and robot kids and a robot dog. Like, let's do it.
I want the Jetsons.
Give me the Jetsons. The future of the 1950s today. No, but, you know, if Star Wars does the same sort of thing, like, I mean, how integral will Kenobi be to future watching of anything? Like, probably not. We've seen his story mostly bookended, unless they decide to show him growing up on Planet Stujon or wherever.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I just feel like it's kind of a missed opportunity. Like all the other, like the CW shows, all the other Marvel shows that they've had that they didn't capitalize on, like as far as the Netflix shows. Like, look how popular Daredevil was. I think it was kind of a miss. Not to at least have the dude make a cameo in a fucking Avengers ensemble film. If it's just seeing him swing through Hell's Kitchen, you know, while they're fighting aliens or something. You know what I mean?
They had their chance. Like, you know, not to say that Crisis on Infinite Earths that's happening right now is any better than the Marvel films, which, God, I've been replaced by a pod person if I ever do say that. But Crisis at least had the strange benefit of showing a bunch of Warner Brothers DC Universe properties like mixed in. Like, they show the Titans Earth, which is on DC Universe. They show the Batman 89 universe, the Batman 66 universe, the CW universe, the what other channel it's on, whatever. I don't watch any of these shows anymore, whatever. And I watch all my television on the internet, so channels mean nothing to me.
Right.
I've transcended it. But what I'm saying is that it's in all these different places, even though it's still all under the same umbrella, which Marvel has the benefit of now. You know, DC's been owned by Warner Brothers for like 30 years or something, maybe more, probably more. But, you know, Marvel at any time could have been like, oh, you know, Daredevil really is in this universe, and here he is for 10 seconds in Infinity War. Like, It doesn't take much, but they that's the direction they obviously didn't want to go in.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know, but Star Wars has always been Star Wars. Like every Star Wars thing you see, unless said otherwise, it's like this is happening in the universe. Could it show up? Maybe. Will it? Who cares? But you know that it matters.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there's, and I mean, we've all said it before. I mean, again, why we like this so well is because it's new, it's fresh. It's a story that we haven't seen or heard of in the galaxy that we're familiar with. And I mean, as long as that they keep doing stuff like that, they'll be fine. I'm curious to see if the Mandalorian TV series really like outweighs episode 9. Episode 9 should be huge because it's tying it all up, right? We're not going to see these characters again. Apparently, the Skywalker saga is done after this. So it's going to be curious because this is a massive hit that Disney Plus has. I'm curious if it doesn't. Let's put it this way: if it doesn't become like outweigh the Mandalorian, is it a bomb? Because you just had a fucking TV show be widely more popular and accepted by critics and fans than you did episode 9. You see what I'm saying?
I think it's going to print money regardless. I mean, Last Jedi was crap, but it still made a ton of money.
Sure, it will. I mean, dude, fucking Suicide Squad almost made $1 billion. It's one of the worst movies I've ever fucking seen.
You mean, correction, Academy Award winning Suicide Squad.
Yeah, for fucking costume and shit.
Hey, give it credit. Movie. Those costumes did look good.
They did. They did look good.
They just gave it to him for Margot Robbie.
Harley looked fucking great.
Yeah. Because they knew but what that's it was what I mean. Cosplay.
It's going to make money, but there's a lot of movies that made money that were still considered box office bombs.
Yeah. And well, no. Critical failures.
Okay.
Yeah. Box office bomb is definitely all about the money.
Right. Well, if they project BVS projected to make over $1 billion, didn't, fell short of the $1 billion. Yeah. Now, it's hard to call a movie that made $800 million a bomb.
I can. Right.
But they did.
It's a piece of shit.
Yeah, well, again, with your vast comic knowledge, you would say that. That's how I always know when people aren't comic book fans is when they say they don't like that movie.
Hey,
like Dennis just did.
But anyway,
I feel like that episode 9's got a real, real high. It's kind of between a rock and a hard place.
Yeah.
The only thing that can save it is if it's really fucking good. And I just don't know how good it can be, to be honest.
Yeah. They kind of wrote themselves into a hole there in that middle movie.
I agree. Yes. And you're right. It's not my microphone. I did say, I agree. It was.
What?
Wow.
I just again.
Debo in the chat having ducked all the trailers. Good fucking luck if you plan on seeing a movie at any time before seeing this. Because it is attacking.
Dude, he does it, man. He does a good job of that.
Well, like, Casey's saying, like, if he goes to any movie at all in theaters.
Yeah. He does it, though.
Okay, I was going to say, that's the only way.
Like, okay, Casey watches all of his TV on the internet. Debo watches all of his movies on the internet.
Smart.
So,
smart.
Yeah, he doesn't see any previews, so that's how he makes it. So any final thoughts on this episode? So you two would rank it in the bottom.
Yeah.
I'd rank it in the bottom as well. It's not last. I believe it's last for you two.
It's still good, though. The fact that this is the worst episode that we have.
It's a good sign.
Sure.
Yeah.
I didn't hate episode 2. There was things about it I didn't like. And it's my least favorite because of the pacing. But other than that, I mean, like I said, Baby Yoda uses the fucking Force. Boom. You saved it. You know, me watching Mando walk around for 20 minutes was fucking worth it because I got to see Baby Yoda use the Force on a big-ass mudhorn. So that was awesome.
What do you guys think is going to happen in the very next episode? Like, we know we've already talked about where it's going eventually, but, like, the very next one, I've not seen any. I don't read synopsises like Travis does, but... So I have no idea what's coming.
I don't know.
Couldn't tell you. Every episode of this has been a surprise. There's never been a time where I'm like, called that one.
Yeah. No. It just does whatever it feels like doing. It seems.
I mean, I feel like he's going to fly to another planet. Mm-hmm. I feel like he's going to try to hide out. It's not going to work. We already know we're going to see Moff Gideon He's going to show up. He's got Death Troopers. That's going to be an episode in itself.
Love those Death Troopers.
I know. That's going to be pretty cool. I'm actually really looking forward to that. And then, you know, I don't know. Like, that's at least one episode that's coming. I don't know where it'll fall. But kind of like Casey says, kind of like Kung Fu, man, they're just going to walk the fucking earth and,
yeah,
you know, see what happens, get into adventures. I don't know. But I do feel like there's an end game. All these seeds that have been planted throughout these episodes, I think some of them are going to lead to that end game more than others. I think this is one of them. We're seeing the mystery man at the end. We're going to find out what she was actually doing on Tatooine, why they were actually on Tatooine, because we never found that out. I mean, other than, you know, she could have been working a job. It could have been something simple. I feel like everything's planned, you know, like they're laying seeds for the end. And then you go, oh, fuck. Yeah, that's pretty cool. That's good storytelling to me. You know, It's going to be kind of shitty if we get to the season finale and it is just something singular. You know what I mean? Like, you know,
nothing. I mean, I have faith in Jon Favreau to do a good job.
What's that?
I have faith in Jon Favreau to do a good job.
Yeah, I do too.
He's done a lot of bad.
And I guess Taika Waititi's doing the finale.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's doing it because people have, and Casey, you'll love this, people have theorized that the big bad is going to be IG-11 is coming back for some payback.
For revenge.
Yep. He's coming back for some payback. So, and with Taika Waititi voicing IG-11 and directing the finale, people have kind of put that together that could happen. It could. It could still happen. Yes. Gina Carano Esposito. Okay, yeah, that's his name. Gina Carano Esposito as an Imperial. Right. Yeah, that's Moff Gideon.
Okay.
Who he's playing. That was bad Kylo Funky. I don't know if you're all watching the chat or not.
I'm not.
But so, any other takeaways from the episode other than y'all hated it?
I liked it. I liked it.
I'm just kidding.
I wish they didn't kill off the young hotshot. I think he would have been a cool.
No, he needed to die.
I know he needed to die, but imagine if he survived, he would always be like getting by the skin of his balls.
The only way I would have liked him surviving is if he got up just in time for the boosters to come on in the ship and to roast him alive at that spot. Hate that character. I'm glad he's dead, and I hope he burns in hell. I've spoken.
I'm really surprised that they killed Ming-Na Wen. I mean, like, she was probably, other than Gina Carano, the most recognizable character in this whole series, and she had what, 5 minutes of screen time?
I'm wondering if these are all just red herrings. Like when you watch the trailer, like you see, oh, famous person, one episode, few minutes here or there, throw them away. Like just to, because people will get all conjecturing when, and they're like, oh,
when Toro shot her, I'm not gonna lie, I was like,
oh yeah, no, I was shocked. I did not see that coming.
Oh fuck, that was pretty close. Like, I'm trying to rationalize how she could survive that.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's a pretty fucking close range shot. Ooh, it was right in the gut. Oh, that's probably not good. You know, like, she can't be dead. Oh fuck, she's dead.
She's been laying in that spot for quite a while.
Yeah. And Mando didn't even check her. Like, and like Casey said, you know, his helmet's probably got infrared. You know, she was probably cold.
This bitch is dead.
That bitch is dead, man. Fuck it. So, oh. And another small clue in this episode, just remember this, he tells the bounty hunter, she's not worth much to us dead, or let's see, something like that, right?
Yeah.
And Boba says the same thing to Vader about Han.
He's no good to me dead.
Love it.
So, coincidence?
Probably.
There's a lot of that's my line in these. Like in the beginning, it's like, sure. I can bring in hot, I can bring in cold.
Yeah, that's my true. Line. All right. Well, what do we have? So, are we on the Wednesday episode yet, or is that next week?
Next week?
Is it?
I think.
I don't know. We have a Wednesday.
When does the new movie come out?
Have we already missed an episode? What has happened?
When does Last Skywalker, whatever the fuck it is,
20th?
Yeah, no, the seventh episode is the Wednesday.
So okay. The week before the season finale.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're Friday again.
No, wouldn't that be next?
We're Friday this week, Wednesday next week.
Yeah. Okay. Wednesday next week. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll shoot for Tuesday or Wednesday next week, guys. Just follow the Facebook page on either you can follow it on Instagram. You can follow the Facebook page, follow Twitter, and I'm posting promotional stuff when we know the date and the time to do the show. But we'll try to get it. I like to give it a couple of days just for people to watch it. You know, if we do it on like Friday, you. I know it drops that morning, but you really don't give people time to watch. And
like you. You know, who didn't watch it till today?
Yeah, I didn't. I didn't.
Yeah, watch what it. Are you waiting for?
Jesus.
Yeah. Well, I figured at least two of us need to watch the show, so I watched it today.
I watched it
because
enough.
I knew you didn't. So
there's at least 5 seconds. Oh,
so Casey, where can people find you?
You can find me at twitch.tv/badcoyotefunky, almost every Thursday night at 9 p.m. But you can also find us in lots of other places like Spotify and iHeartRadio and iTunes and all those fun places that podcasts are sold, except ours is free. that's my main steez right now. We do a Geek News Roundtable, and we'll also, I guess, be doing our own hot takes on The Mandalorian as well. Because, you know, you get a bunch of Star Wars nerds in a room. What are you going to talk about, right?
Right.
Yeah, that's all for me.
Dennis.
Twitter and all that jazz at Worlds List OKSDM. You can also find me at Botched a D&D Podcast, which is a comedy podcast where we get drunk and play in D&D. Currently, we're doing a cult of or like H.P. Lovecraft sort of 1932 New York City kind of campaign at the moment, which is a lot of fun. You can also follow us over at patreon.com/botchedpodcast. All your donations just pretty much go right back into the show. And right after this, I'm going to go at twitch.tv/Worlds Most OKSDM where I had a shit day, so I'm going to get drunk, and we're going to create alien races for season 5 of Botched.
Very cool.
Four out of 50, so we got 46 more to go.
Oh, shit. Really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, guys, if you haven't checked out these shows, give them a chance. They're pretty good. And check out the live streams. Live stream's always fun. If you haven't yet hit that notification bell on the video, hit that notification bell. You'll be notified every time I go live. And we did multi-stream this episode, and I'll be multi-streaming every episode from here on out here and on Facebook. But for that, guys, I want to thank everybody that was in the chat. It's always so much better when you guys are in the chat. You know, like a lot of times, you know, when Dennis talks, I just tune everything out, so it gives me something to do. My dentist is talking, so I read the chat, and it makes me happy. So thank you for that. And guys, it's holiday time, and I try to sign off every show like this, but just treat people like you'd want to be treated. The world will be a better place, and maybe go the extra mile this holiday season. There's a lot of people out there that aren't as fortunate as you, so help them out if you can get a chance. If we pay it forward, the world's just a much more positive, fun place to be. And that is the way. So for Blazing Defender, Casey and Dennis, the Scum and Villainy crew will be back next week, guys, with Chapter 6. Peace.